Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Guys, would you say that was the most successful regular season road trip of all time in Patriots history?
Sure.
Well, I mean, why not?
I think
I'm in.
About the logistics required, the spot that it looked like it was going to be at the beginning of the season. You know, what are you laughing about?
Because you're the one who always tells me you can't do that. You can't look at it at the beginning. You have to wait till the season unfolds.
Right. But if you looked at it at the beginning of the season, like everybody else does. This was looking like it was going to be a tough spot on the road against Denver, Mexico City against the Raiders.
Sure.
That was going to be, you know, the gauntlet
of
this season.
And, you know, in all seriousness, what I like the most about it is not really necessarily anything to do with the opponents, because we had plenty of games early in the season against opponents that I thought were just as bad as Denver and Oakland, and the games went down to the last possession. Tampa Bay, you know, the Chargers, the Jets. I don't care about the other team. I care about the Patriots, and the Patriots were back to their dominant selves. 41-16, 33-8. Games are over in the middle of the second quarter. This is what I was expecting at the beginning of the season. This is the kind of really complementary, dominant football in all phases, and they put back-to-back games together.
Yeah, there's no question. This is what I expected. Play from ahead, allow the offense to help out the defense. Now, I want to give the defense credit. I want to make sure we do that. Six straight games where you hold the opposition to 17 points or fewer. That's impressive. I don't care how you do it. And then sort of the timely plays they're making, that forced fumble on the goal line, instead of being 14-7 potentially, you roll into halftime with a 17-0 lead, and then you turn that third quarter, game over. So give them credit. But this is the way this team was built. Offense first, defense do your part.
And it also, it's a little bit how this league is now. Earlier in the season, the Patriots were making mistakes contributing to the game. Now, the penalties, for example, way down. They're not helping the opponent.
Yeah, it's a great point, because they had such an emphasis, I thought, they placed on the penalties, and they come out after the bye with three penalties in two games. Belichick himself made a big deal of it after the Denver game, talking about just one penalty in that game. So that's an element of it. You talk even about, Andy brought up the score at the end of the half, and I forget the exact numbers, but it's now several games that the Patriots have scored in their final possession at the end of the first half, and now they're also getting that defer in, where early in the year it seemed like they were losing a lot of coin tosses. And I know that sounds silly, but that's given you the double score possibility. They've scored several times in a row now in the last possession of the first half, and Andy's right. You come out and you throw a bomb to start the second. You take a potential 14-7 game. They ended up 17-0 instead of 14-7. Then you make it 24-0. You talk about completely taking the other team's will in a, 10-minute game span, maybe not even, 5-minute span?
You talk about that end of first half score. I know the deferring has a lot to do with getting the ball in the second half, but it's that stop at the end of the second quarter that allows them to get the ball back with a minute 40 or whatever it is. So, you know, the defense is just, you know, they're making those stops now that they weren't making earlier in the year when they really needed it.
Yeah, the defense makes a play, and then the Raiders don't make a play. You're going to run the ball. You pop off a 20-yard run. Okay, now we springboarded. We're going for this. We're going to see if we can get in the altitude for a long field goal attempt. They played it perfectly. And getting back to your point, Bill says it all the time. We've seen Mike Lombardi ever since he's left. He tweets it all the time. The whole cliche that Bill apparently shares with us, before you can win in the NFL, you have to not lose. And earlier in the year, they were making mistakes to keep the other team in it, even to lose games. Now, I give them credit for winning, but they're allowing the other team to make the mistake, to lose the game early, and then it snowballs with the plays that you then make on top of that.
Better taking advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah. And we got to talk about Brady. I mean, we're way into the show here.
Should we bring him up?
Tom Brady is ridiculous right now.
Yeah,
this really is. Another Jack Del Rio defense, which he just eats up. We remember the days in Jacksonville, that playoff game when it was, 26 of 28?
Yeah.
He just ate them alive. And we knew it coming in that the Raiders were struggling defensively, but they took full advantage. They got Cooks involved, went down the field, hit some big plays, spread it around a little bit, and you know, Brady, I think it's three of the last four over 120 passer rating. He doesn't throw picks. He's completing everything. I don't know if you heard, he's 40. It's a little bit ridiculous.
Really? Yeah.
And he's not throwing anything even close to picks right now. I mean, early in the year, there were a couple of, you know, you would sit there and say, oh, he might have gotten away with that. When was the last time you said he might have gotten away with one?
No, his bad throws still hit the guy in the hands, like the Cooks one. He has to dive back a little, but it still hits him in the hands. He's not hitting the other team in the hands. It's amazing.
How much do you think bringing in Martellus Bennett has helped? Because it seems like, you know, last week and this week, protection was better. You know, Brady's looked good throughout, but do you think that bringing Martellus Bennett actually helped Dwayne Allen, actually helped Rob Gronkowski?
Well, I think it adds depth, certainly. It allows you probably to be a little more comfortable saying, this week we're going to use the two tight end sets because you have Bennett, even though he's missed some time with the hamstring and the shoulder. And I talked about that with Paul, that I don't think this lit a fire under Allen, which some people have sort of posed that idea. I think it's more maybe we're going two tight end sets. Oh, Bennett's out this play. Well, Allen, get in there. Here's your opportunity. You're in the end zone in Denver. Catch the ball. Okay, you caught it. Maybe that builds your confidence. So I think it's a depth thing, but where you started was right. Cooks, Gronkowski, and Brady have been really good all year, and they're still really good now.
And it affects maybe game planning, as Andy talked about. And I also would throw in this past game, It allowed Rob Gronkowski to stay in and block a lot.
Right.
You know, maybe a little bit more than he's normally doing. He wasn't as big a part of the passing game, but he was a big part of the protection. And maybe you don't do that if you don't have Bennett there because you're not exactly sure what you were going to get out of Dwayne Allen. So Andy's right. You might go into a game with an idea that you're going to use more of these sets than you normally would if it was just Allen because you hadn't gotten a lot out of him. Now, if Bennett has to come out, well, that was part of the game plan, so Allen gets more opportunities.
Looking ahead, five of the last six games are against the AFC East, which basically has given up.
Wake me in January.
Yeah, and you know you have that big game in Week 15 looming against the Pittsburgh Steelers, which might determine you know the number one seed in the AFC.
Yeah, that's the one test, and it'll be interesting to see if both teams can stay healthy, especially this year, the way the whole league has seemingly gotten injured. But that's the one test left where you say that can catapult you into the playoffs as, yeah, you're the best team in the AFC. Either team, whoever wins that is probably going to feel they're the best team, the team to beat.
It almost guaranteed it will come down to that game. The winner of that game will have the inside track for the number one seed.
Well, Miami's coming up, so we'll...
Miami will not have a chance for the number one seed.
Wait, I thought they said they were going to beat the Patriots twice this year.
Today's show is brought to you in part by WB Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but WB Mason? And also brought to you in part by Fisher Plows. The legacy rolls on. Visit FisherPlows.com.
This week's From the Heart, we look at the matchup between the Patriots' cruising pass offense and the Dolphins' stumbling, bumbling pass defense. Miami is allowing 105 passer rating to their opponents, 18 touchdowns and just 3 picks. More than the Raiders, but not much at this point. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Brandon Cooks, they are cruising. The Dolphins have youth in the back end. A couple rookies starting there in Tankersley and Smith. Xavien Howard, one of the worst corners in football. Throw the ball early, throw the ball often, get a lead through the air. These aren't your dad's Dolphins.
Talked a little bit about the improvement on defense for the Patriots this season, and it really has been dramatic. The first four games, they couldn't stop anybody, allowing 30 points every single game, and now all of a sudden, teams cannot get in the end zone against your New England Patriots. The last six games, under 20 points, and I think there are a lot of reasons why. You're starting to see Matt Patricia get a little bit more comfortable with the various personnel that he has. He always uses more than 11 guys as his frontline guys. Everybody contributes, and now you're starting to see roles being developed for different guys. Jonathan Jones would be one of them. Even Marquise Flowers the last game, mostly special teams, but you're seeing more snaps on defense from him. You're starting to get different guys involved, and I think Jones in particular has been a big key to that. I think he's got a lot of speed, and he's been covering very well, and I think it's all coming together. You're seeing a lot less confusion on the back end. Give Matt Patricia and his troops a lot of credit.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash talk this week, we look at this Sunday's game against the Dolphins. Paul Perillo, nice win streak here. We're already looking ahead to the Steelers.
Is this a trap game?
I'm looking ahead to the Steelers, so I say it's a trap game. I can't be the only one. Look, the Patriots should be feeling really good about themselves, Andy. They went out to Colorado Springs. They took care of business in a place they don't play well in normally in Denver, and then they followed that up with another really good game. And you know what's happened since? The Patriots have had a lot of people patting them on the back. And they're listening. There's some young guys that are listening to all this praise. And I know Bill Belichick is working really hard to keep avoiding it. But, yes, it's a trap game. You're playing a bad team at home, and you're feeling really good about yourself.
Yeah, I think there's enough for Bill to use. And, yes, he uses the things that are at his disposal. So Jarvis Landry in the spring saying, we're going to beat the Patriots twice. They're not our big brother anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to use that. That'll be on some screens in the locker room. That'll be distributed. The players will be well aware of that. I also think you point to the last time you played a division game this year, the Jets. You struggled, right? Very much so. So I think Bill says, listen, this is the division again. This is where they know us and we know them, and things bogged down. Yeah. I know that they've struggled, but guess what? You can screw up everything you've accomplished in the last 6 weeks by stumbling it away here on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, those are the old Patriots. That was the Patriots that played before the bye. A whole different team now. And I don't think that they're going to lose the game.
So there's mousetraps hanging from the ceiling? Is this the old Parcells days?
But I think this is the very definition of a trap game. It doesn't mean that I think the Patriots are going to lose as a result of it, because I don't think Miami, quite frankly, is good enough to take advantage, even if the Patriots don't play at their best on Sunday. But you look at all the different factors, and yeah, they saw what happened earlier in the year, but now that they're looking at what the Patriots themselves are seeing, how they're playing now, they think they have it all fixed. You know, the penalties that were such a big problem early in the season, gone. You know, the communication issues in the secondary with the bunch formations, gone. They're rolling right now.
They've been covered up, but are they gone? I think Bill can get very creative with his video director, Jimmy D, and you can say, Marshawn Lynch went 25 yards. Let's get that on a couple angles. Let's show him that footage. You know, there have been enough plays allowed, and we always talk about that. What he pulls from a game, he's not big on positive reinforcement. He looks at the mistakes and says, we need to fix those. Those could bite us. I think there's been enough of those defensively in recent weeks. And I also just think the leadership, especially on the offensive side of the ball with Tom Brady, he's 40, right?
Yeah.
He's playing till he's 45. That's what they say. We don't know. He knows that these are limited. Every one of these opportunities, he may not ever be 8-2 again heading into the end of the season. He knows how valuable these are. How many times they tell us, after Thanksgiving is when the season really starts. Well, it's after Thanksgiving. Tom Brady, Bill Belichick will not allow this team to stumble against a bad Dolphins team.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that they will stumble. I just don't think you're going to see a continuation of the dominance from start to finish for 60 minutes.
Are they a 17-point favorite?
Yeah, I think they might struggle to cover that.
Really?
How's that sound?
I think they blow them out.
I think that the Dolphins will have some pride when they come in here, but I just don't think they have enough talent. And that's going to allow the Patriots.
Who's their quarterback?
They don't know.
Right.
It could be Cutler. It could be Moore. Who knows? But the bottom line
here, to me,
pride
only gets you so far. At some point, you got to throw the ball.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner and New England's best ticket source for all Patriots games. Visit aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
The Pro Football Hall of Fame came out with its 27 semifinalists for the 2018 class. Three ex-Patriots are on the list, Ty Law, and for the first time, Richard Seymour and Randy Moss. Overall, it's an intriguing list of candidates, in which, in my opinion, only a few are shoo-ins. Moss will get in eventually, if not this year. Ray Lewis is another who, like him or hate him as a person, was undeniably one of the best players of his era. Maybe you throw in Brian Urlacher and Steve Hutchinson into this group. After that, well, no one jumps out at me. I'm pretty tough when it comes to Halls of Fame. My rule of thumb is, if a person requires too much thought, he or she shouldn't get in. In my world, the Pro Football Hall of Fame would be quite a bit smaller than it currently is. Obviously, that's not how it works. By rule, four new members must be selected to the Hall each year. It can be up to eight, of which no more than five can be modern era players. That's why the deliberations in the room when it comes to picking the new class can often be long and contentious. The fate of a player often comes down to the effectiveness of his advocate's argument, or too often, simply how well his advocate argues. To me, that's not right, but I can't think of a better way. Maybe remove the yearly caps and minimums and require 90% of the voters in the room to agree on a particular player. Problem is, that might result in a year with no new Hall of Famers. That's okay with me, but I'm not sure too many people agree.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Gillette Stadium locker room, Patriots second-year cornerback Jonathan Jones. And you're a guy that has quickly developed a pretty key role on this defense in just two seasons. How different is this year compared to last year when you were an undrafted rookie just sort of finding your role?
Definitely just trying to grow, just trying to expand as a player, be as valuable as I can to the team. You know, like I said, start up special teams and try to just expand my role and just whatever the team needs, just try to be that guy.
This week you were part of that big play at the goal line where the Raiders were driving in, hoping to cut the lead in half. You held up Seth Roberts. Flowers was able to punch it out. Were you intentionally holding him up? It looked like Roberts was a little loose with the ball. Did you know there was a chance maybe force fumble here?
Definitely. You know, it's something we always, you know, teach us to attack the ball. And, you know, I was able to hold him up, and Marquise came in, you know, very conscious of the ball and was able to get it out. So, I mean, just having guys around the ball, you know, Pat hustling to the ball to recover. Like I said, back to just having guys flying to the ball and good things happen.
For you, last year, obviously, your role was on special teams. It's been a little more on defense this year. Does that pull you in two different directions? Does that make your work week harder, multiple meetings, or how does that work?
I mean, you just come in and prepare. You know, whatever the coaches ask you to do, I think that's you do it that way, and it's easy. You know, I won't say it's easy, but it gets easier. You know, the more you just come in and learn what to do, learn your job, and the better you can get at it, the better it'll be for you.
Jarvis Landry in the offseason predicted that they would beat the Patriots twice this year. Was that something you were aware of, something you'd use as motivation this week?
No, I really wasn't aware of it, but, you know, every team's going to bring their best versus us, especially division game. You know, they're a big team in our division and one of our, you know, division opponents, and we know they're going to bring it. We have to do the same.
So a birdie told me that your nickname has evolved into Big Play Jay. Is that accurate? Where'd that come from? Do you like it?
That started with, you know, Deron, and hey, if it sticks, I'll run with it. You know, as long as I continue to make plays, I guess he can keep running with it.
Is there a pressure though to live up to that reputation now? Now you got to make plays more often. They expect it.
I guess so. Exactly. I mean, as long as, you know, keep working and keep getting better and try to develop a knack and keep making plays.
Okay, so Thanksgiving week, you got a meal in your belly. What do you like to eat on Thanksgiving? What are your favorites part of that meal?
Oh, man, I'm a Southern guy, so definitely, you know, the ham, chicken dressing, macaroni and cheese, you know, those are the main, and then the dessert, red velvet cake guy, so red velvet. As long as I get that, I'm happy.
Okay, and then the final question we ask a lot of guys on this team, and it's funny, they usually say themselves, are you the fastest guy in this locker room?
I don't know. If we ever race one day, then I'll come back and tell you. But, hey, I think I have a chance if we ever line up and race. I bet on me.
And your main competition would be give me two names. Man. Three-man heat. Who are the other two in your heat?
We have a lot of fast guys on this team. I don't think I can give you two, but, I mean, Slater, Brandon Cooks, Phillips. I mean, there's just so many fast guys on this team.
All right, thanks, Jonathan, and keep an eye on Big Play Jay on Sunday.
You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Well, guys, I know it was great to have me back, right? We're all back in the same room.
Couldn't wait to get you back.
All right, well, it's time for questions.
Nice.
And these are the ones that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. The first one comes from Len Carmody. Is it time to consider extending Cooks under some sort of deal that incorporates the season and a half still remaining on the contract and spread it over 4 years or something,
yeah,
whatever?
That's an interesting thought. Yeah. And I do think there's some sense that you can make out of that. I think he's been very successful. I think I've been most impressed with, I mean, obviously we knew he was a good player, but how quickly he has sort of fit in that locker room. Not always an easy thing to do. I think he clearly has established himself with Tom Brady and with those receivers. So I think it's working. So why not? Why not do it a little bit early? Maybe you can save a little money on the back end. We know that they picked up the fifth-year option, so he's not going anywhere, and that's what he's talking about with a year and a half. But I would love to see him sign a five-year extension and have, you know, the next year, 18, be one of those years. I think it's worked out incredibly well. He's still very young.
Yeah, he is.
That's the thing that you don't realize about Cooks because he's been around so long, but he's still just a kid. I think you get 5 years out of him. No danger of him falling off the cliff.
No, the problem is the money. Yeah. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins set the market. It's 5 years, $81 million, $40-plus million guaranteed. That's a steep price.
No.
Can you get that? Would I do that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Me too.
I like him. He's producing. He fits
with
Brady.
Absolutely.
It's hard to find guys that are young and fit with Brady. Keep him with him.
Oh, if he's for 5 years, he'll go out with Brady.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Why is he leaving? He'll stay after Brady.
Logan Morrison writes in your opinion, who are the potential pro bowlers on the Patriots this season? He thinks Kyle Van Noy would be a sneak-in candidate.
I think he'd be a stunner. I just don't see him at that level. I think the obvious ones, you have Tom Brady, sure. Rob Gronkowski, sure. Okay. I think Steven Gostkowski is in the mix. He's back at a Pro Bowl level. I'm not sure anybody defensively deserves it. And if I think there is one guy who could sneak in, a surprise like he's asking for, I think it's Shaq Mason.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think his reputation around the league is trending upward.
All right. And finally, Bobby from Swampscott writes in about Terry Glenn and was wondering what your memories of him was as a Patriot.
Just a really interesting, kind of complex guy. I think that he had all the talent in the world, and I loved watching the guy play. But certainly, we all know about his upbringing, and it wasn't the best of upbringings. And I think that really affected him. It impacted his personality. I think he was really introverted guy. I tell a story all the time about conducting an interview with him for about 10 minutes. He kept his helmet on and sat looking into his locker. So that sort of gave you a peek. He didn't really trust anybody in the media. Never really felt like I knew him, but I loved watching him play when he was at his best. Unfortunately, we didn't get to see that often enough.
Yeah, there was definitely a trust issue with him.
Yeah, no doubt.
In you know, creating that wall with people. But when you met him, you immediately knew that, like, deep down, he was a good person.
A likable guy.
And you wanted to help him.
That's what Bill said. And yeah. I didn't know Bill had as close a relationship with him because you think about the way it ended, and it didn't end well here in 2001. But he talked about 96, and they were really close. He was coaching the defense, working against Glenn, and the fact they were really close. And deep down, he thought he was a good person with good intentions.
Yeah.
And most of the players say maybe the most talented guy they've ever seen.
He was talented. All right, that's this week's questions. Every week, send them to askpfw@patriots.com.